Get our Bibles open to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 32. I was going to go up there and help Mr. Todd a little bit, but probably would have made things a lot worse, huh? So Jeremiah chapter number 32. If you weren't here this morning, or if you were in the back and you were teaching, we began a new series talking about the great questions of the Bible. And we talked about how when God asks an individual a question, he's not looking for knowledge, but instead he's trying to get them to consider something, trying to get them to think about something. This morning we talked about how God was speaking to Abraham, but Sarah was a little bit eavesdropping through the tent, and Sarah laughed when she heard about God saying that she was going to have a child at the age of 90. And he asked this question to Sarah. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? He did it through Abraham, but he just pretty much said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the reason why he was asking that was to help her to understand and remember this, because the questions of life can be answered many times with this thought, there's really nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, he's not going to force himself on anyone. And we talked about how unbelief and an unwilling spirit and not willing to listen, those are things that can limit God. God is able to save every person, but if those who do not come to him, then he's not going to save them. So is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. He can do all things. We talked about this morning, we looked at a couple of different thoughts. We talked about there's no problem that God cannot solve. Talk about the problem of the Red Sea. He solved it. There's no promise too hard for God not to keep. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. No, God can answer any prayer. There's no person too hard for God to save. And there's no city that God cannot revive. And we looked at it this morning. We challenged the thought of taking that and making it a part of our hearts, a passion of our lives. Charles Spurgeon wrote when he was preached on the similar topic. He says, I invite you, therefore, dear friends, to think over the question in your minds until the omnipotence of Jehovah shall be your one all-absorbing thought. You cannot think of anything which renders it necessary to put a footnote to the text. Search well and see if it needs qualification. See whether there is an exception to the rule of an absolute omnipotence. Turn over the divine question long and well. Is anything too hard for the Lord? May your thoughts be awake at this time. May the truth of the text take possession of your mind and fill them with a fragrance, even as the woman's box of ointment filled the room with its perfume. He was saying if you would let it capture your heart, capture your mind, and you would spend your lives walking, saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything? And when the problems, the obstacles of life come across, we remember there is a God that's all-powerful and a God that can do all things. And this morning, we looked at a woman that was laughing. Yes, she would believe who God was, and she was faithful for so many years. Yes, she slipped up, but we all have. And even though she'd been faithful, she still laughed when she had the opportunity to trust God. Instead, she says, there's no way God will do that. So tonight is a similar phrase that's found in the Bible. It's talking about a whole different situation. Instead of it's referring to how God was going to work miraculous in an individual's life. And we talked about that this morning, how Sarah is in the same spot many of us are. How we believe and we would say out loud, yes, you're God, you can do all things. But when God wants to use us personally, we laugh inside and say, there ain't no way that's going to happen. Many times we laugh, and as God looked and said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? And Sarah says, well, I didn't laugh. We deny ourselves. We really convince ourselves. We lie to ourselves saying that I believe that God can do all things, but then I live a life laughing inside thinking, man, God's never going to do that. And we thought about this question and the thought that comes to many people's mind. Even someone as they're leaving this morning mentioned to me, you're right, Pastor. The thing that comes to my mind when we hear that God can do all things is, can God do all things? Yes. The answer question is, will God do those things? And that's where faith comes in. It's believing and trusting in a God who loves us, a God who can work all things together for good. God doesn't ask us to figure out all the details. God just asks us to be faithful. God doesn't tell Sarah, hey, you're going to have to go and figure out how to have a child at 90. God says, you're going to have a child, and he's asking her to believe and to trust and to follow after him. And tonight in the story, it's a similar thing that God says to an individual, but God asks somebody to do something that's unusual. What about that? What about when God says, I want you to do something that's uncommon, something that's weird, something that's crazy. I want you to do something that would be out of the norm, that would be completely out of the box for you, and I want you to consider. But and I began thinking, think about all the times God asked people to do crazy things in the Bible. You think about when they're, we mentioned the Red Sea this morning, you know, the Egyptians are coming up, the people are looking to Moses, and what does Moses do? He holds a stick in the air. I don't know about you, but if, you know, hey, God, you know, we got all these Egyptians coming and we got this huge sea. Should we break to the right? Should we break to the left? He says, no, just take your staff and put it up in the air. I don't know about you. That would be like, God, what are you doing? And you think about, you know, over and over in the Israelites, they did different things that we would wonder. How about the time when God told Moses to cut down a tree and throw it in the pool of water so they could drink it? Or maybe when he was told to strike the rock. Or speak to the rock, and water came out. What about the story we heard Brother Snyder preaching about last week, about, man, there's snakes all over the place, and there's people getting bit. You know, what should we do? Should we call the nurses? Should we try to find a remedy? He says, no, just make yourself a brazen serpent and hold it up. You know, what? When we hear things like that, we're thinking, what in the world was God thinking? Why would God ask me to do something like that? And once again, the big walls of Jericho, he says, oh, just go ahead and walk around it. Okay, what do you want me to do after that? I just want you to be faithful. So the question is, we must determine to have the faith that God can do everything and God has the power to do everything. But by having that faith, we must follow the Lord's leadership and follow the Lord's guidance. You know, just like Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. To us, that would be crazy. I mean, to us, that would be something, why in the world would I do that? And whether it's, we break it down to our own hearts. I want you to forgive somebody. I want you to treat people with respect. I want you to be friendly. I want you to be kind. I want you to be merciful. Sometimes in the situation, that seems like it's ridiculous and that's crazy. And tonight, God is speaking to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, he asked him to do something that's unusual. So it's Jeremiah chapter number 32 tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 32. I turned to Isaiah chapter 32, so I guess I should catch up here. And God asked Jeremiah to do something, and Jeremiah does not understand what's going on. And Jeremiah even begins a prayer back to God in verse number 16. And he says in Jeremiah chapter number 32, and actually verse number 17, he responds to God by asking this prayer, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He begins the prayer by saying, look, I understand this. There's nothing too hard for you. And God responds to him, and God even says something to him in verse 27. Go ahead and take the Bible, look down verse number 27. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And he's reminding him of something. Then he asks this question, is there anything too hard for me? Very similar to what he was saying to Sarah today, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's interesting, he uses the Lord once, and then here he's using the word me. Maybe Sarah needed the recognition that he was the Lord and he was God. Here he uses the word me because he's speaking to Jeremiah, and he begins and shows the power by saying he's the God of all flesh. If you're wondering and considering what God can do, go back to creation and see he's created all this, so how should we challenge or consider? And you know, so what is it that God was asking Jeremiah to do? Now, besides the fact that God asked and called Jeremiah to be a prophet, and it was probably at least a 40-year ministry, maybe a little bit longer. And the interesting thing, in this 40 to 50 years, you don't really see any converts. You don't really see anybody turning back to God. And could you imagine being a preacher or being asked to serve in a ministry, and even though you faithfully serve, you serve and you serve and you serve, and then you don't see any converts, you don't see any changes, you don't see God working and moving like we so much desire. That's the story of Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet. He's called a person that has been faithful for so many years, But God is not asking him to figure out how to get the people saved or how to get the people right. God is asking him to be faithful. And he says to him, he made it himself, and he said in verse number 17, there is nothing too hard for thee. But then he's questioning what God asked him to do. God, I know there's nothing too hard for you, but then you go to that verse number 24, it says, behold, the mounts, they are come up to the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. He says, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. So what happens is Jeremiah is there, and he is prophesying that the Chaldeans were coming. Nebuchadnezzar was coming. He was going to destroy the city. He was going to take everybody captive. He even says it about Zedekiah, the king. Everybody was going to be captive. And Zedekiah didn't like what he was saying, so Zedekiah takes him and puts him in prison. You don't like what the preacher's saying, so you get rid of him. They put him in prison. Then while in prison, his cousin comes to him. His cousin comes to him and says, hey, I have this field over here, and it's your right. You have the right to redeem it. You have the right to inherit it. You have the right to buy it back if you choose to. And he says, I want to sell it to you. He said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, remember what's happening here. The army is coming. The army is going to destroy. Some commentators believe, because of the location of Benjamin, that the army was already there. That field was something that Jeremiah would never possibly ever see, and definitely possibly never enjoy, because he knows his captivity is going to last for 70 years. And God says to him, he says, I want you to buy that field. And Jeremiah is scratching his head. He's sitting in prison. He's saying, why in the world would I want to buy a field that's getting ready to be destroyed and is getting ready to something I can never use? But God has a purpose and plan for it. And as I consider all those crazy or odd things God asked people to do in the Bible, the brazen serpent, it worked. Walking around Jericho, it worked. You know, Jonah going to Nineveh, it worked. Moses throwing the tree into the water, it worked. You know, the crossing of the Red Sea, holding the stick up, it worked. You know, those are all things that we got to remember, that we serve a God that can do all things. And then we got to come to this realization, come to this understanding, hey, is there anything too hard for me? And I wanted to preach, and most times when we have the questions, and next week we're going to look at another question in the Bible, but this is something that I think that if we could let it capture our heart, there's nothing too hard for God. I don't know what your problem is, but your problem, as I mentioned this morning, probably is not as big as the Red Sea. It might seem like it is to you. It's probably not as big as the walls of Jericho. It's probably not as big as people dying with snake bites. You know, all those things, God figured out all those problems. Why? Because he's God. There's no promise he can't keep. There's no prayer that he cannot answer. There's no individual that he cannot save. God can do all things. But the question is, what do you do when God asks you to do something unusual? What if you do if God asks you to do something that you just don't understand? And sometimes he does. Sometimes maybe it comes to our mission giving. And yes, we're still considering missions. And you say, well, God's speaking my heart about giving this. I don't know how that's going to happen. Or God wants me to go to be a witness to this individual. I don't know why God's telling me to do that. God wants me to do this for my family or do this for my church. Or God, he's leading us and guiding us. But the point is, what God wants us to do is what Jeremiah does first and foremost. He obeys. So we're going to read a good portion of this story. I gave you a little bit of a background so maybe you can understand what's going on in this story. It's probably not the one that's the story that's the most familiar. I mentioned to a couple people this morning or within the last few days what I was thinking about preaching about in Jeremiah. And they said, well, I don't really remember that story that much. But it's here. It's found in the Bible. And it helps us understand what to do when God asks you to do something that's crazy. Remember, is there anything too hard for me? Let's pick up in verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah. He specifically mentions the time. And this is the time when Nebuchadnezzar is right against the walls. He's getting ready to take over. Which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So what happens here is Zedekiah does not like what Jeremiah is saying. So the way to get him to be quiet is by throwing him in jail. Now remember that in these circumstances, Jeremiah is not sitting high and lofty on a mountain like Elijah, be able to call fire down. He is not in circumstances that would act like he's speaking from a source of strength. He is in prison, and he is doing these things. He's obeying. Everything is not going the way that we would have expected. Everything is not going the way that Jeremiah probably wanted it to go. He's sitting in prison for preaching and teaching what God has told him to do. So remember that when we say to be obedient, even when we don't understand, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean the circumstances have to be perfect. We just have to follow the Lord. Verse number 3, for Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up. And, you know, shut him up in prison is what they're saying. That pretty much what he wanted to do was shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with his mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. Zedekiah did not want to hear the truth. The reason why Jeremiah was saying it was to try to help them, but he refused to listen. And he shall lead, referring still to the prophecy, what's going to happen to Zedekiah. He shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Then Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So we see the prophecy that's found in verses 1 through 5. Verse number 6, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, and you'll see what he's saying here. Behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamiel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So you see specifically here, God is saying something. He comes to Jeremiah, reveals what's going to happen, and then it happens, just like God said it would. So Jeremiah knows that he's supposed to buy this field. All reasonable people would think that Jeremiah, there is no reason to buy this field. Even if Jeremiah gets out of prison, silver is going to be pretty important. Even if Jeremiah is not one of the ones, and once again, being an older guy, he probably wouldn't have been one of the ones taken to Babylon, food's going to be scarce. Resources are going to be scarce. Those pieces of silver are going to be very valuable in the next upcoming days. Why else would this man say, hey, come, sell me this property? It's because he knew he was going to need the money. So Jeremiah is asked by God to do something, and it says in verse number 9, and I bought the field of Hanamiel, my son's uncle, and that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. First thing to do when you're asked to do something that's unusual, or maybe something a little bit crazy, or asked to do something you might not understand, if you know it comes from God, first thing to do is obey. First thing to do is obey. If you know it's coming from the Lord, then obey him. If you know you're following the leadership of the Lord, then do what God has asked you to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to the Lord is what he's looking for from his people. He's looking, and that's what Jeremiah does first and foremost. You don't see him starting to negotiate with this guy. You don't say, hey, well, let me think about it a little bit. He's sitting in a prison cell, and as he's sitting in this prison cell, he says to him, you want me to buy this field? I will buy this field. Now, Jeremiah is the one guy that's saying, it's going to be conquered. It's going to be overtaken. That this is definitely going to happen. God is not going to deliver us anymore like he has done so miraculously before in the past. But he obeys even though the circumstances dictate something different. Christian, I want you to understand that we must always learn to obey the Lord even though sometimes the circumstances seem different. Why is that? It's the same thing. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Even though it might not always make sense, I'm sure it didn't make sense to the Old Testament characters when they did certain things. I'm sure when Jesus told Peter to go get a fish and get money out of the mouth of the fish, that didn't make any sense to him. I'm sure when he told those 5,000 that could be up to 12,000 to 15,000 to make them sit down when they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, didn't make any sense. But you see, as they are following the Lord and as they're listening to the Lord, they're saying in their mind, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for me? Because if God is able to do it and God is calling you to do it, the first thing you need to do more than anything else is obey. You know, whether it's faithfulness, whether it's service, whether it's forgiving, whether it's being kind and tenderhearted, whether it's giving out a tract. He's like, I don't see it. I don't understand it. God says, do it. And remember, there is nothing too hard for him. And because there's nothing too hard for him, we should first and foremost obey. Second thing I want you to see here that Jeremiah does, I want you to skip down to verse number 16. Verses 10 through 15, you see Jeremiah makes it official. Jeremiah wants everybody else to see what's going on. There's a reason why God's calling you to do it. God is giving them a reason to say, Jeremiah, I'm going to bring the people back. When they're getting ready to leave and they're going to be gone for 70 years, but I'm going to bring the people back. You say, well, how in the world can someone bring a nation back from all these different other areas that they're going to be in? Remember, is there anything too hard for me? There isn't. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So he's saying what this is going to show and what this is going to represent, that in my time, I'm going to bring these people back and they're going to be my people and I'm going to be their God. And he says, when you buy this, you understand that someday someone's going to be on those fields and someday someone's going to be in those houses and someday people are going to buy and sell property once again. Now, Jeremiah, it's not going to be you. Jeremiah, that's not going to be your opportunity, but I want you to teach the people that there is nothing that's too hard for me. I want you to teach the people that I know that God's going to be good to his people once again. And if you read the entire chapter, he talks about how he's going to be good to them and how he's going to bless them and how he's going to bring them together all in peace someday in his own time. But where does that all begin? It's by being faithful and obedient. So Jeremiah doesn't understand what's going on, but the first thing he does is he obeys. Sometimes we don't follow the Lord's leadership, even though we know it's supposed to be true, until we get a specific reasoning behind it. The first thing we need to do is obey. We don't need to figure everything out. We don't need to have the answer that's going to come in the end. We just have to learn how to be obedient. And if you look in the scriptures, there are so many times that God says, just follow me. As you follow me, the rest will become understandable. He doesn't show you the end from the beginning. He doesn't show you where you're going to end up someday. He shows you the next step, and he says, all I want you to do is be obedient. And think about it, if we knew what God was calling us to do many years down the road, we might not be willing to follow him. We might say, I'm not up for that. If we would have seen maybe some of the tragedies and some of the hardships and some of the heartaches and some of the obstacles, we say, there's no way I can handle all those different things. And I said, God doesn't show it to you all at once. He shows you and he says, hey, look, just follow after me. Take that step, and that first step, which is obedience. The second thing I want you to think about is he prays. Not only does he obey, he prays. And you see in this prayer is going to be a prayer of worship. And the prayer is for a little while, and we're going to read it. It's verses 16 through 25. But in my mind, what I'm seeing here he's doing, he is asking God, God, what's going on? Are you crazy? Why do I need to buy this field? I'm not even ever going to see this field. I'm never going to be able to enjoy this field. I'm going to need my money. Now, what does he do? He prays and asks God why. Now, you say, Pastor, is that okay to do? I think it's okay to do. God responds to him. God reminds him by asking him that question, is there anything too hard for me? I don't think Jeremiah here is being critical. Jeremiah's not laughing like Sarah was, thinking it's impossible. Jeremiah is willing to be obedient. Jeremiah is willing to follow. You're looking at a person who has been sold out for God and serving God and preaching a message that is not popular. He's a person that has his trust. And then in verse number 16, he starts off, now I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah. I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That's the first thing he says. As you continue to read to this, you're going to see, and for sake of time, we're just going to read through it, but it praises God. He is lifting God up. He's saying, God, I know you're God. I know you're in control of things. I know that you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this for the nation of Israel. I know they turned their back on you, and they're getting what they deserve, but I want you to explain to me why you're allowing this to happen. I want you to show me. God doesn't always show me, but I want you to reason with me and show me why you want me to buy this land. So let's read this prayer real quick. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord God, Lord of hosts is his name. Amen. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand. He's not forgetting what God has done for them, and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mountains, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. He's saying, God, you see what is happening. You have ordained what is happening. And he says, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses. He comes to this point. He says, you see everything that's happening, and now you're asking me to do something that's foolish. Would you explain it to me? He said, Pastor, why do you think it's okay that he asked this question? Well, go to chapter 33. And once again, the visions that are found in the Bible, they're not inspired. I think they're good. I think they're profitable. But in chapter 33, you see something that's a famous verse here. In verse number 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. He's still in prison. God has just spoken to him. God has just told him all the things. And he says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And what's that next verse? Let's read it all together. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What's he doing? He's saying, pray to me. He says, if you don't understand, call unto me and answer me. And then he says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah couldn't understand why he was in the prison cell. Jeremiah couldn't understand why he was having to buy this. And he says, hey, look, go ahead and call unto me. Go ahead and cry out to me. He says, I will answer thee. Once again, he's in the prison cell. He is not like some of the other prophets that had been lifted to a place where people were respecting them and where people thought highly of them. He's pretty much, most of his career has been pushed down and nobody wanted to hear it. And he's sitting in the prison cell, and God of the universe, the God who made all things, the God that can do all things, says, I want you to call unto me. Even if you're in the prison, even though the circumstances, even though you might not understand, if you'll call unto me, I will answer thee. What a wonderful promise. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like people try to avoid my calls. Sometimes I feel like people try to avoid my text. Sometimes it feels like nobody answers when I'm trying to get a hold of somebody. But God has said, look, if you'll call on me, I'll answer you. Think about where he's at when this promise is made. He's in prison. He's living in the middle of wicked people. He's living in a nation that is experiencing the awful judgment of our Almighty God. Yet the Lord says to Jeremiah, he says, I want you to know that I care about you, Jeremiah. I want you to know what I understand what you're facing in life. I want you to understand that I see what's happening. I know what I'm asking from you. And I want you to call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you those things, those great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you're willing to be faithful and you're willing to call unto, you're willing to pray, I'm willing to show you what's going to happen. Yeah, praise the Lord. We serve a God that can do all things. Praise the Lord for that. Is there anything too hard for me? There is not anything too hard for the Lord. So I want you to think about, the first thing is be obedient. The second thing is to pray. And the third thing is consider what God said and what God is doing. And if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 32, and we'll just look at that verse there that he responds in verse 27. And it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So Jeremiah is in the prison cell. Jeremiah knows what he's going through and he doesn't understand. And the thing that he says to him, look, is there anything too hard for me? Now, Jeremiah sees the desolation. Jeremiah sees the devastation. Jeremiah doesn't understand what's going on, but God has a plan on down the future that he's going to bring the nation back together, and he's going to bring him from all areas of the world, and he's going to bring him a place of peace. And if you read through chapter 32, some of the promises that were there, I think some of the promises went after the 70 years. I also think there's going to be a day and time later on and prophecy about those times. And he saying to them, hey, guess what? I got it all under control. He's telling Jeremiah, hey, I got this. Remember, there's nothing too hard for me. I know you're in the prison cell. I know you're spending money on property you're never going to see. I know when no one listens to you, no one understands you, nobody. I get all that, but don't forget this. Is there anything too hard for me? And sometimes when God is asking us to step out by faith, and sometimes when God is asking us to do the unusual, sort of like when that prophet went to him and says, hey, look, just make me a little sandwich first, a little cake first, then you can take care of you and your son. That was crazy. Now, nobody would do that. But God is asking, God is telling, and God's saying, if you're willing to be obedient and you're willing to call unto me, then consider this, there's nothing too hard for me. That whatever circumstance you're in, I can make all things work together for good. I can make everything work together for good for them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. So if you're choosing to say, I'm going to live my life and say, I believe that God can do all things. I'm going to live my life. Remember, that's why God asked Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And that's why he's saying here to Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me? You think about it. He is asking him to consider this wonderful question. God views this necessary. Remember, Jeremiah says, I know that you can do all things, and I know all these wonderful things, but can you explain this to me? And the first thing he says, don't forget this. I'm the God of all flesh, and is there anything too hard for me? So when you begin to question and think about the things of this world and you see the obstacles and you see the problems, make sure you're obedient. Make sure you pray. But let God respond to you. Prayer is a two-way street. It's a two-way communication. Prayer is a dialogue between two people who love each other. Prayer is a time where you pray and you speak, but you also listen to God. Why would Jeremiah have ever asked God what in the world God was doing if he did not expect a response? And how come we ask God for questions, but we do not take time to listen to the response? How come we ask God questions, but we never look in his word and ask God to speak to our hearts through his Holy Spirit, whether through circumstances or through his word, or even just speaking in the time of meditation and silence, meditating on his word, asking God to speak? Over and over, God speaks to man in the Bible. He also speaks to our hearts, too. God viewed this question as necessary. Neither party dominates the conversation. God not only listens to our prayers, but he also speaks to those who pray. Prayer is as much about listening as it is about speaking. Listening to God's voice is probably one of the most neglected parts of our prayer. Jeremiah is sitting and he is waiting for the answer. He praises God. He worships God in his prayer. He explains to God. He understands all that's going on. And then he says, hey, this is what I want to understand. And then he sits silently and God responds. But the response is something that God felt was necessary to say. Once again, he is a good man. He is a good prophet. The utterance of these words are not worthless. They are necessary to be spoken. Remember, our flesh is frail. Our mortal minds are forgetful. And Jeremiah, as great as he was still just a man. It was necessary for him to tell the prophet this, although he knew it. It was never doubted that the Lord was almighty. It was never doubted that Jehovah was going to provide. But he speaks this truth to the mind of Jeremiah, and he says to them, is there anything too hard for me? And it's often necessary for the Lord to remind us and drive home this truth. When obstacles are coming, when the problems are coming, and when they seem so insurmountable, we need to remind ourselves, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for me? So when it may seem crazy that God's asking you to do, be obedient first and foremost, and pray. And then consider how God speaks to you. Consider what God's trying to do. Jeremiah couldn't see all the way down when God is going to bring those people together. Jeremiah couldn't understand, just like we can't. Why would God ask us to be faithful? Why would God ask us to serve? Why would God ask us to speak to someone we don't feel comfortable to? Why would God ask us to submit to certain things that we don't understand and the world tells us we shouldn't submit to? Why would God ask us to be holy? And why would God ask us to do all these things? It's because he knows it's what we need. And he comes to the spot and he says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He asked that to Sarah this morning when we talked about it, a woman who was struggling with the thought that God can do anything. I believe it was a woman who loved the Lord. I believe it was a woman that was faithful. But she needed to hear this question. Sarah, I got something to think about. You don't trust, you don't believe right this second. Now stop saying you do. Be honest and open before yourself and ask yourself this question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Because if she honestly thought about it and let it capture her thoughts and thinking, she would end up saying, you know what? You know what? God can make that happen. And then he goes to this man, Jeremiah, who's just being faithful and sitting in prison and wondering what's happening. And he said, Jeremiah, something I got to remind you first. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the answer, but something I want you to remember. I'm the God of all flesh. I've created all this. He says, is there anything too hard for me? When you begin to wonder why God's asking you to do something that's unusual or crazy or you can't figure out, obey and then pray and then consider, you know what? God is able to make these things work out for good. Is there anything too hard for me? So today, whether you're in Sarah's spot, which I think probably more of us are in Sarah's spot, our faith is waning. Our faith isn't very strong. We would never admit that. Like Sarah says, well, I didn't laugh. And we would say, oh, no, I trust you, God. But our lives and our inside, our hearts saying, I don't think God's going to do it. Well, I don't doubt God's ability. I just doubt God's ability to do it in my life. You know what that is? It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. Remember, this is a question of faith. And I said, probably most of us are in this circle. We need to go before God with an open heart and say, God, I believe this, but I want to live this. I believe you can do all things, but I'm sitting on the sideline just wondering, thinking, you're never going to do that. Laughing in ourselves saying, there's no way that God can bring revival. There's no way God can save that person. There's no way. Now, we wouldn't say that out loud, but our hearts are saying, it seems like it's helpless. And God's asking us this question. It's what he wants us to consider. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. There's no promise he can't keep. There's no prayer that he cannot answer. There's no person that he cannot save. There's no city that he cannot revive. The truth is, there is. And if we live this way, it will help us say, you know what? That gospel tract can make a difference. If I live right, that can make a difference. But then you got this other guy, Jeremiah, who from what we can tell is doing what he's supposed to do. Even in the prison cell, God is asking him to do something crazy. He's living by faith. And God asked him the same question. A little different. Is there anything too hard for me? He needed to tell Sarah because Sarah was waning and not believing that God could. And he says to Jeremiah, stay faithful. You can trust me. And I don't know where you're at, but I'm guessing that most of us are in one of those two spots. Lacking the faith to really make a difference in the world because we don't believe God's going to do it. Not that we don't believe God can. We just don't believe God's going to. Since we don't believe that, we don't read our Bibles like we should. We don't pray like we should. We don't witness like we should. We don't serve like we should. We don't give like we should. Because we don't say that God can do all things. We might believe that, but we don't live a life like that. I think Jeremiah is over here in the prison cell because he believes that God can do all things. He even writes it down first. He says, I know you can do all things. And what God reminds him before he gives him the answer, he says to him, trust me. You might not see it, but you can trust me. And I don't know what it is that you're coming up against, but what God's saying in this passage of scripture here is, obey. There's nothing wrong with praying. He even says in chapter 33, call on me, I will answer thee. And what does he say? I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah did not know, and Jeremiah got the answer. And what God's saying there is, you can trust me. And that's when he asked that question, is there anything too hard for me? So some of the great questions in the Bible, God is calling and he's asking this question to certain individuals for certain reasons. He's trying to help them understand things. He's trying to reveal something to Sarah about herself. You believe in me, but you don't believe that I can do this in your own life. You have faith that I'm God and that I can do all things. You just don't think I'll do it with you. How many times we do that as believers? And then you got another man over here. He is trying to teach him, you can trust me. I got this all under control. What is he doing? He's revealing something about himself. Over here, the question is, let me show you something, Sarah, about yourself. He is pushing her faith to the point that she is discovering something about herself that she does not have the faith to believe that God can do something special in her life. Sort of like I believe Jonah, at some point in time, Jonah in his life probably told God, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. And God says, oh, really? I want you to go to Nineveh. And what did he do? He revealed something to Jonah. Hey, you're not as willing as you think you are. Over here, he's teaching Jeremiah. What's he teaching Jeremiah? He's teaching Jeremiah something about himself. He's saying to Jeremiah, there's nothing too hard for me. I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he's teaching Jeremiah that God is always faithful. Not only is God powerful, but you can trust him. Praise the Lord for that. And I don't know which spot you're in, but I know this week we could do a lot worse than to leave this place by saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever your obstacle is that you're facing, you can either have the faith to believe that God can do something in your life, or have the faith to just trust him and know that he is doing something. But nonetheless, we should be saying, I serve a God that can do all things. God's asking this question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Just as he was speaking to Sarah and Jeremiah, he speaks to us. And just as I mentioned earlier about Spurgeon saying, if you will let that go in your mind and go in your heart till the omnipotence of God is on your heartbeat and becomes your passion, becomes something that you know and believe, then as you walk this way, when he leads you and guides you, even if it's unusual, obey. Nothing wrong with praying. Make sure that you, because he says, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But then consider what God's doing. You can trust in him. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There isn't. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. One of those great